We've known Eric. Jim Edwards and I have kind of participated a little bit with Eric in his ministry. He has a ministry called Relationship 180, which he's going to tell you a little bit about. And I thought it'd be a good resource. We had been talking about marriage and family. And I just thought hearing from Eric, and he's been part of our group here for the last couple of years, would be helpful. And what he has to say will be helpful, but I think his ministry is one that I think is a good place for us to know about and a good resource. So, here's Eric.
Participate with another ministry called, all of a sudden I can hear myself. With another ministry, I won't have to talk as loud, called the Pocket Testament League. Any of you guys ever heard of the Pocket Testament League? You know, carry gospel in your back pocket. God compels you to share because you don't know what he's up to. He may be giving you a divine appointment. It's a great ministry. Was a part of that ministry for about 4 years. And then this last year, I actually joined the staff of a ministry that I had been a part of co-founding 5 years ago. It's called Relationship 180. Relationship 180, basically, if you cut to the chase about what we try to do, this is the you know, the 15-second infomercial, you know, going up and down the elevator with you kind of speech. Basically, we want to impact leaders that influence others. So we have an opportunity to be involved in pastors and Christian leaders' lives and missionaries in a way to help them get the kind of relational tools that they need to be able to help their marriages so that they have more effective ministries. And the ministry has been around for about 5 years. It was based on the teaching and some of the ministry work that a gentleman named Milan Yurkovich, K. Yurkovich, you may have heard that name. Milan and I are partners in crime at Relationship 180, and we have a lot of fun together. They wrote a great book called How We Love. And if you want to get some wonderful tools on how to have deeper and more intimate and rich relationships, not only in your home with your wife and with your kids, but in your businesses and in your churches, there are just some wonderful, wonderful principles there. And it kind of goes a little bit beyond what you might anticipate in some of the more Christian ease that we've had over the years. If you've been around the church for a long time, you probably could think of four or five really good relational books written by wonderful, wonderful authors. What they do is they dig a little deeper. And today we're going to talk about digging a little deeper. But digging a little bit at some of the stuff that's related to your family of origin, and some of the real issues that kind of came out of how we connected in our families with the with issues of bonding and attachment and intimacy. For an example, my dad was just, you know, I call him kind of a flaming avoider, but he didn't know how to connect. And my mom is what the terminology in the book would call a vacillator. You know, everything was either all good or it was all bad. And she was on either end of the spectrum at any particular point in time. So you kind of put that combination together and you have a unique home situation that doesn't allow for a young child or a young boy like myself growing up in that environment to be able to navigate some of the situations and circumstances that I found myself in. My dad and my sister turned 16, just quick story. She turned 16, and in the context of growing up and becoming a teenager and getting involved in a lot of things she shouldn't, predominantly drugs, my dad didn't know what to do with her, and being an avoider, he didn't want to ever confront it. My mom, being very much good or bad, wanted to confront everything, and so sparks flew most of the time to the point where my dad got so pushed by my mom that he just reacted, and it was not pretty. He finally got to the place where he exploded. And they had some knockdown dragouts, and it was an ugly scene. My dad actually kicked my sister out of the house when she was 16, and she never returned. In fact, to the day he died, she barely returned. It was just an estranged relationship. They never connected. They never attached. Well, the way I managed that was I call myself a recovering pleaser, because I tend to be an individual who likes to please others. I like to keep the peace. And so what I did and how I learned to stay within some consistency of a relationship in that home was, I would, when they got into those flaming fights, that were really just seemingly out of control, I would go in my room and I would find a way to get under the covers, and literally I would force myself to go to sleep. Now fast forward that. And by the way, that took a little bit of time for me to even be able to say. That came out later in my life, in my relationship with my wife, as we talked about some of our challenges and our struggles. One of our challenges was is that if there was something going on in the home, it wasn't difficult for me to say, well, you know, there's nothing we can do about it tonight. Let's deal with it in the morning. And I could turn over and fall asleep in a second. Now, how many of you ever had your wife complain about you doing something like that? Well, that went on for a long time until finally she just said, enough is enough. You know, we're either going to fall apart or we're going to get more intimate, and we're going to be able to deal with these things in a way that really helps us both relate and connect and bond. So anyway, that's a little bit of what our ministry does. We try to provide some of those kinds of tools to help people really be able to get past some of those barriers that keep them from being able to be more effective in their ministries. So that's the infomercial. I'm not going to really talk a lot more about Relationship 180 other than you can find out more about us at www.relationship180.com. And there's a lot of wonderful tools there. Probably the best thing you should know about that particular website is this. Last year, Brian and Jim and some others got involved with us when we decided that we would put together a website that would provide free resources and materials to ministry leaders. So if you're a ministry leader, or if you know a pastor or a missionary that's on the field that you're supporting, and you'd like to encourage them to get some free tools, because a lot of times when they're on the field, obviously, they're either, you know, a little bit strapped financially, or they just don't have access to some good tools, then you can have them go to our site, and there's literally a place where they can sign up, and they can create a password, and then they get authorized. And once they get authorized, they get to get into our back-end resource page, which just has tons of audio and PDFs and stuff that they can access that really will help them dig a little deeper into some of these kinds of issues. We also do a missionary leadership kit that if you gave me their name and you'd want me to send them the book and the workbook and some DVD teaching on some of those issues and providing them some of those kind of tools, we do that as well. We just do that and send it out for free. That's our ministry. So anyway, that's Relationship 180, and we have a lot of fun doing it. So commercial's over. Now we can get into the Word. Hope you have your Bibles with you, because we are going to spend a little bit of time in the Word. And we're going to talk, just kind of piggybacking on what Kim did, we're going to talk a little bit about love. And excuse me one second. It almost seems appropriate that having a ministry who's based on a book called How We Love, that we talk about love when I get up to spend some time with you guys. I wanted to share with you, just to get things kind of kicked off, I'm not a great morning person. In fact, the guys know that I drag in and need 4 or 5 cups of coffee just to be able to look at them straight. So to get me going in the morning, sometimes I listen. Do you guys, anybody have XM radio? Anybody listen to 151? if you know what it is, you know it's the joke channel. I mean, I love it. First thing in the morning, it just gets me going. I know it sounds terrible for a pastor to want to listen to jokes rather than wanting to get into the Word of God. But that's just what gets me going. I love to hear, you know, some comic, you know, get me kind of riled. And sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad, sometimes it just gets me thinking. And then I can get into other things that are important for the day. But anyway, here's one that I picked up along the way. This is a thing called Kids on Love, just to kind of get us thinking about what love is like. Kids on Love, John, age 9, said this. This is what falling in love is like. It's like an avalanche where you have to run for your life. Glenn, age 7, said, if falling in love is anything like learning how to spell, I don't want to do it. It takes too long. On the role of beauty and handsomeness in love, Brian, age 7, said this. It isn't always just how you look. Look at me. I'm handsome, and I haven't had anybody marry me yet. Reflections on the nature of love. Greg, age 8. Love is the most important thing in the world, but baseball is pretty good too. Just a couple more. Confidential opinions about love. Dave Age 8 says this, love will find you even if you're trying to hide from it. I've been trying to hide from it since I was 5, but the girls keep finding me. Personal qualities you need to have in order to be a good lover. One you should know is how to write a check. Because even if you have tons of love, there's still going to be a lot of bills. Ava, age 8. Surefire way to make a person fall in love with you. Bart, age 9, says, one way is to take the girl out to eat. Make sure it's something that she likes to eat. French fries usually work for me. Okay, maybe one more. Oh, this one's a good one. How to make love endure. Aaron, age 8, says, don't forget your wife's name. That'll mess up love. Some of these just kind of got to percolate on, you know. And Dave Age 8 says, be a good kisser. It might make your wife forget that you never take out the trash. So there you go. It's an interesting topic when you talk about love, especially you talk about relationships in this economic climate that we find ourselves in. There are some real challenges for us in our relationships with our spouses. A lot of it is not just based on the economy, but it seems as though the economy has heightened some of the other issues that are underlying in our relationships with our wives. It's easy when the water runs pretty shallow to stay shallow, but when it runs deep and we know we're running shallow, we don't get to the depths that we know we should be. And when things get a little challenging, we find ourselves a little pressed. In these tough economic times, the one thing we don't want to do is we don't want to ignore it. We don't want to whine about it. We really don't want to wait around it. And oftentimes, we find ourselves blaming one another for some of the situations and circumstances we're in. One of the things that we talk about as a tool for deepening relationships and digging deeper is learning how to comfort one another. Learning how, in even difficult economic times like this, to be able to be in a situation where you can bring sincere, deep, rich comfort to one another in your relationship and in this world. There's nothing greater than knowing that you've got an ally, not an enemy, in your home. And many times as men, we often treat our wives, often treat others in the home as enemies. That's something we got to really address. It takes being open, it takes being transparent, and it also takes pursuing intimacy with your spouse. Now here's something I want to say, and hopefully it'll be helpful to you as you think about being men of God. As men of God, we're told in the scriptures to do a lot of different things. One of them is to put on the armor of God so that we can what? Avoid those fiery darts of Satan that seem to trip us up and get in the way of us being the kind of men that Christ has called us out to be. And we dug a little bit, even in this group, dug quite a bit as Brian and Lynn and others have helped us consider what it means to be that man of God. I know you just went on a retreat, and so unfortunately I couldn't be with you guys. I would have loved to, but I'm sure in the context of that you dug deeper in what it means to be that kind of man. What I want to say is that biblically oriented men of God not only put on the armor of God, but they put on the attitude of Christ. And if you want to turn with me, we're going to start in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, and it's a familiar passage. I know we've actually looked at it together, but I want to kind of dig at it from this idea of what does it mean to pursue intimacy, spiritual intimacy with our spouse. Now I recognize, because I've taught on this passage many times, that this passage is not necessarily referring specifically to the intimacy that we have in our relationship with our wife, but it does give a great framework for the attitude that we should have that is like Christ in the relationships that we pursue in life. The number one relationship that I think God wants us to pursue is our pursuit of our spouse. Absolutely. And why is that? Because it's a great mirror of what our relationship with the Lord is like. It's the most perfect reflection of our relationship with Him here on this world. It's the place we get to practice, guys. And it's a place we ought to be practicing every single day. So if we take on this attitude of Christ and we read it within that framework or that perspective, listen to what it says. I'm going to read to you out of the New Living Translation. Forgive me if that's, not a good thing in this church. I hope I get forgiveness. But, you know, I'm from the outside. I can do a lot of things. Have this attitude. If there is any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from his love, there's that comfort word, any fellowship together in the Spirit, are your hearts tender and compassionate, then truly make me happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and one purpose. Now, how many of you could say that's my home? Not a lot of hands go up. Why is that? Why is that not a reflection of what happens in our homes? Let's listen to that again. If there's any encouragement from belonging to Christ, we belong to Christ. He's given us the gift of salvation. He's redeemed us for a purpose. He's redeemed us for all eternity. If there's any comfort in his love is the thing that comforts us the most. I mean, I don't know about you, but even getting up to speak to a group of men that I feel somewhat a connection to, and I have good friends at one of the tables, I still find myself praying, Lord, get me out of the way. And, you know, I hope that what I say this morning is going to be helpful to these men. Now, we have those apprehensions. I find my comfort in a time of prayer before the Lord that he might use this moment for his benefit and for kingdom purpose. We go to him because we know we'll find comfort. Any fellowship together in the Spirit, hearts that are tender and compassionate, then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and one purpose. It goes on to say this, don't be selfish, don't try to impress others, be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves, don't look out for only your own interests, but the interests of others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. And it goes on to describe what that attitude was. That was Philippians 2, chapter 1 through 5. Did I not say that? I'm sorry. Okay, Philippians 2, 1 through 5. Let me do this, and then I'm going to ask you to do something around the table. We're actually going to do our discussion time in the middle. I'm going to mess you guys up a little bit, break some paradigms. Hopefully that doesn't, have you, want to route me out of here. But let me put in a context of the risk of relationships. I'm going to suggest that to pursue intimacy means that we pursue the full armor of God, we become men of God that take on the attitude of Christ. That's the premise here. That's the platform that we're going to have conversation around. Now, there's a risk that's associated with that, right? You would agree, there's always a risk. We always kind of evaluate that as guys in the world and the business and the things that we do on a daily basis. There's always this idea of what's the return on my investment. You know, I may risk to the extent that I believe that return is going to be worthwhile and I'm going to get something out of the investment I put in. All right, so let me talk about the risk for just a minute. And let's use that word risk as an acronym for our conversation. First of all, I want to suggest that if you take the letter R, you could use that within the framework of recognizing, if you're taking notes, if you guys are note takers, it'd be a good one, R, recognize. Okay, recognizing who we are and whose we are. Okay, first, you got to recognize who we are and whose we are. Now, we are God's child. I would guess that most of you who are here because you believe that, because you attend this church. I know you've been taught that. And this is something that's critically important to you, or you wouldn't be here in the first place. We are God's. We are redeemed. We are his. He has gone to the cross. He has given us this gift of salvation. He's also given us this gift of relationship. When I came to Christ as a senior in high school, that was the most predominant piece that sold me. I had never heard that I could have a relationship with the living God. I went to an Episcopalian church. My parents were somewhat active. My mom got ticked off over some political issue and eventually left the church, and that was the last I had to go. And then one day, a friend of mine came and said, you really need to hear the good news, although they didn't say that. They just kind of carted me along on a snow ski trip that they knew I would attend when I was a high schooler, and there is where I heard the gospel message, and there is where I heard that I could be God's child. I could be in an intimate relationship with him. And as a result of that, I responded because it was attractive to me. Much like the early church, if you think about it, the early church, you know, they grew by thousands because they had this gift of salvation to give to a community, a wanting community, and the gift of community or relationship that was extremely attractive to the people of that time. Now, I would suggest that that same thing is true today. It's extremely attractive to the people of our time. And I hope that you recognize that even in the sense of understanding whose we are, that there are people out there that want to belong as well. And I hope you share your story. So recognizing that whose you are and who you are is very important. And then also recognizing that that's a part of who your spouse is. And communicating that value in her is the first part of reducing the risk. Communicating value in your spouse is the first part of reducing that risk. The second one there is initiate conversation. That was probably one that you would have guessed, or initiate some communication. It's got to be intentional. We've got to be intentional in the things that we do with our wives. Here's just a quick little blurb I found that someone threw out there about what a woman says and what a man hears. It's kind of fun. What a woman says is, "This place is a mess. Come on, you and I need to clean it up. Your stuff is lying on the floor, and you'll have no clothes to wear if we don't do the laundry right now." Here's what a man hears. "Blah, blah, 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 come on. Blah, 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 you and I. Blah, 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 on the floor. Blah, 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 no clothes. Blah, 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 right now." We need to figure out how to initiate communication and conversation that's going to get at the core of who we are if we're going to pursue intimacy. Not just what we think they're saying to us in the context of some long conversation that we think we've heard before. The S there is the idea of seeking to understand and develop a sensitive spirit. Let's dig in a little deeper. The K there, I'm going to move along because I want you guys to have a little conversation. The K there is to keep Christ as Lord and God on the mount. And here, let me just say a quick thing about this. We need to let God pitch. We need to let him be on the mound of our lives. And use this as a metaphor for understanding this particular point. Marriage is not the minors, it's the majors. And oftentimes, I think that we need to step up to the plate and let God pitch us in ways that we pursue so that we can not only have intimacy with him, but intimacy with our wives. You see, I think that when we go home, oftentimes we forget that what we practice in the home is a direct reflection of what we say we have in our relationship with Christ. And if we don't practice it well there, how can we ever practice it out here? Hebrews 12 says it very well. It says, don't get tripped up as we're before this great cloud of witnesses, but focus your eyes upon Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. If you've ever thought about that and unpacked that, it's kind of the same principle. It's the same metaphor almost of letting God pitch. It's to say he's the author, not me. Think about your own life. If your life is a reflection of a book, like, you know, that kind of communicates, that passage talks about, you know, some of us are softbound, some of us are a little hardbound, some are easier to get to know than others. We all have chapters of our lives or seasons, this journey of faith that we walk through, or the seasons of our life that we experience. And those could be the chapters of our life. On every one of those pages within that chapter, that season, There's going to be a story that's told. There's going to be some reflection of what happened on that particular day of each day as a page. And here's the question that I think is being asked in that passage that's reflective of letting God pitch. It's the question, who's writing the words on the page? If I get up and I say to the Lord, "Lord, this is your day, this is your page," do you think that page will look a little different if I get up and just say, "This is my page and I'm going to go to my day"? Absolutely. You'll get to the end of the day, you'll look back and you say, "Well, I orchestrated a pretty decent day. And yeah, I kind of honored God and I hopefully honored relationships and I think I loved my wife." Or you'll say, "Lord, boy, you really wrote a great day. What a day. What a day." Personally, I'd rather be on the what a day side, because I think that's God's best intention for us And I think that by pursuing that kind of intimacy with Him, it's going to impact everything else we do in life. Okay, here's what I want you to do around the tables. I want you to just dialogue about two different questions. First one first, and then I'm only going to give you about 3 or 4 minutes on each one. So you got to talk fast. I know that's not easy here, you know, because everybody's got a lot of opinions. We're in South Orange County. But try to keep them to a minimum. Just kind of get out some of your thoughts. In fact, somebody kind of maybe write down a few of the things that you hear. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to create a list of, and I'll put it in these terms. Marriages that are intimate are so because couples put value on, and make a list. Marriages that are intimate are so because couples put a value on, and make a list. Make sense? 3 or 4 minutes? Go. What you think? Marriages that are intimate are so because couples put a value on what? Let me hear what you found out. Somebody from each table, just kind of throw some stuff out. Prayer. Okay, they put a value on prayer. What else?
Listening.
Good.
Being selfless, putting spouse's needs over.
Okay, being selfless, putting spouse's needs over your own. Okay, what else?
Romance.
Transparency. Good. What else?
Sharing ideas.
What else? Keep it going.
Keeping track of wrong doings.
Somebody over here said trust, and then you said what?
Keeping track of wrongdoings.
Yeah. Yeah, that helps. We're going to pray for you. What else did you come up with?
Setting goals.
Okay, good. What else?
Listening.
Anything else? Listening. Okay, keep digging. I'm sure there's a few more out there.
Understanding
and appreciating one another's differences. These are all great.
Honesty and gratitude.
Wonderful. What's that?
Establishing some traditions.
I would put that under the heading of lasting commitment. Anything else?
Being non-critical.
Okay. Being supportive. It sounds like I'm kind of going to throw these into some broader general categories. Being supportive, being comforting, nurturing, accepting, some of those kind of things. Hey, well, you guys don't need me. You know all the answers. What keeps us from doing all of that? That's the second question. If we know what it is that we're supposed to do, what is it that keeps us from doing it? Okay. Share that around your table. Take 3 or 4 more minutes and answer that question. If we know some of those things, what keeps us from doing it? Talk a little bit more. So what are some of the things that you talked about around the table that are the barriers for us to be able to achieve what we said we know we need to do? What are some of those things? Pride was one of them.
Fear.
Fear is another one. What are we afraid of? Anybody? What are we afraid of? We're afraid of what? We're afraid of intimacy. But what else are we afraid of?
Injuring the relationship.
Say that again.
Injuring the relationship.
Okay. We're worried about injuring the relationship, hurting our spouse's feelings, saying something that will be misunderstood, that might be, you know, that might bring up some of our own pain. We don't want to step on that. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. I do that too often. That's how I know. What else?
Denial.
Say that again.
Denial.
Okay.
Selfishness.
Busyness.
Sports.
words. That's true. Sparts. Cricket. Oh, I'm sorry. what else?
Misplaced priorities.
Okay.
Ego.
Ego. It's real good. Anything else out there?
Grudge.
What's that?
Grudge.
I'm sorry, still didn't hear you.
Grudge.
Oh, grudges. Grudges. Yeah, that's good. That's good. An unforgiving spirit would be one. Anything else? Let me read to you something that I threw into my file as I was at my desk last night. I didn't know if I'd have time to get to this, but I use this in a every time I do a wedding and officiate. I don't pull this particularly out, but I love to share some of these simple principles. And there's certain things in scriptures that the scripture says we should abstain from, and other things that we should embrace. And oftentimes we tend to put those in the, you know, the bigger categories of I'm supposed to abstain from lustful things and, you know, the pursuit of money and those kind of things. But let me just talk about some of the relational things we're supposed to put off and some of the things that we're supposed to put on. And I've got passages listed for each of these. If you'd like to see this at the end, I'll leave it on the table and you could copy a few of these down. But it says, but Hebrews 12, again, says what? Lay aside every weight and sin that so easily entangles us. So put off things like a lack of love, put off judging, bitterness, an unforgiving spirit, pride, disobedience, impatience, jealousy, lying, bad motives, complacency, lack of rejoicing, and worry or fear. So all the things we just listed that get in the way, the scriptures clearly tell us to put those off. And it says clearly to put on these things. Love. No duh, we've heard that one many times. Self-examination, tender-heartedness, a forgiving spirit, humility, obedience, patience, trust, where you prefer others, your spouses, speaking truth, meditation on God, put on diligence, rejoicing, and trust. Now, when I read a list like that personally, I think to myself, you know, I can't work any harder or no more than I think I am currently attempting to do. And I don't think God wants us to work harder or no more than we currently even may know. We sat around the tables and we came up with wonderful lists of the things that we know God wants us to do and the things we know we should not pursue. And yet we all as men work hard at times, believing that we're doing the things that God would call us to do so we could have greater intimacy in our relationship with our spouses. Scripture is pretty clear about what we really need to do. It's pretty clear when it talks about that we really need to pursue the intimacy that we have available to us in our relationship with Christ so that there is a pure reflection of that when we're in the home. And the greater the intimacy with Christ, the greater the reflection of the character of Christ in us that will allow us to be the kinds of things that are the putting on and allowing us to have the strength to do the putting off. The putting on comes from being faithful. Being faithful to our relationship with Christ in an intimate way from the moment we get up to the moment we go to bed and looking to carry that intimacy with Him in ways that will impact our homes for not only now but for all eternity. You know, the greatest joy I think in all of our lives would be to see a home that's committed to Christ, kids who are committed to Christ, and grandkids who are committed to Christ. Now, I'm lucky enough to have two grandkids. I know I don't look that old, thank you very much, but I am, and I love that. And, you know, I didn't realize the reality of that until I started getting my kids older and my grandkids coming. I have a 5-year-old granddaughter named Ellie and a 1-year-old, just last Thursday, grandson, yes,
named Noah.
And they have become the love of my life. And I can't believe how much I pray for their spiritual development. It's almost uncanny to me that I've gotten to a place where that is the most important thing in the world to me. My wife of 32 years has had that nailed down for quite some time. You know, as most of our wives are much greater prayer warriors than most of us. But I've learned as we've prayed for our kids and we've walked through some of these journeys at some intimate levels of allowing Christ to really be the Lord of our lives, not just our Savior, that it brings about an intimacy with her and with our kids, and now hopefully with our grandkids, that will supersede anything else we've ever experienced in this world. I think it starts with forgiving. Here's a discipline for you. To pursue intimacy needs to start with forgiveness. Most of us are really happy and really pleased when we can go before the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me, because we know ourselves all too well. And we know our sin. And we know our shortcomings. And the Lord is gracious and just to forgive us those sins. And we embrace that wholeheartedly. We love that. We love that part of God. And yet we can turn around and in the relationships we have with our spouse, we can have an unforgiving spirit. We can hold on to those lists like somebody mentioned before. We can record the wrongs that have been the offenses that have kept us from being willing to be authentic and to step into places that we know God would have us step. You know, it kind of goes back to just really three simple things. Being faithful, being observant, and being obedient. You know, you can boil down a lot of things to those three words. If we're faithful in our relationship with Him, our Creator, the one who has redeemed us for all eternity, who's given us a purpose in life. I happen to go to Saddleback with my wife on most weekends because we live up in Mission Viejo. And I love the way Warren says this. He says, I can't even think how he says it right now. But he says we have a purpose for living and a home that we've been given. And that's so true. We live here in a way that allows us to be faithful or not be faithful to the commitment that we've been given or we've embraced and has been afforded to us in this opportunity to know Christ and know God personally. To start there and then to say, okay, now God, what do you want me to do? Out of that relationship, not a work, but a faith relationship that allows you to have such a preeminence in my life that now my character is a reflection of who you are, not what I think I need to be. So it's really being, not doing. And ultimately, you know, there's this observance of what I know Christ would have me do in the moments of my day that lead me to a choice of obedience. Will I do it? So when you're at home and you're with your wife and you're feeling like maybe the thing I'm going to say is not really the right thing to say, or maybe I don't even know how to say it, but I know I should say it if we're going to have intimacy, we need to step into some of those places and trust Christ. Because we know Christ, not because we just think we know what to do. That's a big difference. It's the difference of being able to be in the right way with the right moment and the right people than just to be something we think we should be because we say we are believers. I hope that makes some sense. And if it doesn't, come talk to me and we'll try to unpack it a little bit. I'm going to pray for you because we are at the end of our time. And I appreciate the fact that I got an opportunity to spend a little more time with you guys. You got to know me a little bit better, and hopefully over the next several months or years, we'll know each other even that much more deeper. Father, thank you for these men. I thank you for this church. I thank you for what you're doing here. Lord, this is a group of guys that I've grown to really appreciate, and I know their heart for you, and I pray for them today. I pray for all of us as we encounter a lot of things that will distract us and cause us to kind of forget this incredible opportunity that we have each and every day to love our wives, to love our families, love our kids, to be a light in the midst of that world, that part of our world, so that we can experience that one thing that we all know we want, that home in heaven, not only for us, but for those that we love the most. Lord, I know that we all love things, and we all know what we love. And if we were to be honest, we could think about the jobs that we may love, the toys that we may love, the experiences we may love, the movies we may love, and all of those seem to pale in comparison to what you have called us to love. First you, and then others. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us. This is a tough journey of faith. It's not easy. Intimacy is a risk. But Lord, we risked the first time we kissed our wives, the first time we hugged her, when we said we wanted to marry her. We took a big risk. And Lord, somewhere along the way, we stopped taking some risks. Help us to be men of God who step out, step up, and do what you've called us to do. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Ryan, Phil, you. Oh, thank you. I put two things out on the counter out there. One of them is kind of a reject. I apologize. We printed off an article that I wrote on 10 ways to stormproof your marriage in tough economic times. And I was interviewed by the Register, and this article kind of came out of that, and then it was a publication for our ministry. And I put it out there, and I think there's a typo on it. That's why I'm doing the disclaimer right now. But I put a stack out there. If you want to grab one, feel free. And then the other thing that's out there is there's a little packet that I came with. I don't have very many. I'm sorry. I just grabbed a handful of them. Oh, you did? Oh, awesome. Thanks. It's... If you want to get some good questions or expressions of communication, questions you can ask your wives, or some activities you can do even to kind of go through the process of better communicating with your wives, I put a little packet of 3 or 4 pages out there that you might find helpful. So, go have a great day. Are we done? Do you need to say anything, Brian? Okay. God bless you. See you next week.